From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk about Irish names. They're beautiful to look at and don't sound anything like you'd expect. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Okay, hi Kathy. Hi Ross. I'm already a little... Wait, can you be kerfuffled? I was going to say I'm already a little kerfuffled, but you've definitely already... got me giggling because we got an email from a listener with one of pet peeves about the spelling of Irish names. Do you want to read this or do it?
Here, we'll just read it. Let me,
let me read this particular sentence. It says, the spelling of Irish names is my pet. And if you were just speaking American English, you would look at this and say, my pet Piam, P-I-A-M-H.
Yep.
Now, I...
You have to have the aspirated H at the end. Piam. Huh?
Piam. Now, I do happen to know that I've seen the name Niamh spelled N-I-A-M-H. So both because of context, Peeve, and because of that name, Niamh, I would know that this is saying is my pet peeve. But yeah, when you look at it like that, the spelling of Irish names is my pet peeum.
I don't know.
That's kind of magical, honestly.
And that got us thinking, let's give Fletcher a little mini quiz, hopefully to embarrass him on spelling of these things. Although I think you're doing fairly well. The first one.
I'm putting it in for him, Ross.
I strongly apologize wholeheartedly as much as I possibly can to all of our Irish listeners. This is not going to be pretty.
No.
I just want to point out that email we got was from Murph in Boston,
That's got to be Irish.
You don't say.
I'm assuming. I just realized. I was debating, okay? I'm quietly.
I want to add another thing, too. None of Kathy, nor I, nor Fletcher are native Gaelic speakers, and I don't think we... This is like a very rough and ready pronunciation guide. We're not talking about how it really should be pronounced in Dublin. And the first one, this one perplexed me when I was studying history at university years and years ago. And I think it was something with, I forget, some diplomatic thing. And they had so-and-so talk to the Irish. Now, I pronounced it as Taiosak, something like that.
Yeah.
And I read it, you know, like, and you're like, typical kid. I mean, like, oh, well, that's how it's a Taiosak or something like that. I kind of blipped over the spelling.
Now, is this is the Irish head of government?
This is the higher, it basically means leader in Gaelic, but it's now been used to mean specifically the Taiosak is the head of the Irish government.
Right.
So how is it?
And it's
pronounced?
Not pronounced like I just said it.
Right. Let me spell it just so people can get an idea. Yeah. And maybe you've seen this word when you're reading about things and probably just moved right past it. But it's spelled T A O I S E A C H. T A O I S E A C H. So it looks like Ross kind of said, Tawasak. Something like that.
Taoiseach or something.
I think I remember, and I don't know if we've brought this up before or if I saw it somewhere else, but I think I remember like Liz Truss or something getting in trouble for pronouncing it.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Among other things. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, didn't she pronounce it like T-Sock or something?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That was it.
So I don't really. Okay. So what? I don't really know. It's got to be something along those lines, right? I don't really know otherwise. Yeah.
The key thing is that S pronunciation in the middle.
Oh, it's more like a sh, like shin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
So is it more like T-shock? T-shock?
T-shock.
Close.
Yes.
T-shock.
Well,
close.
It depends. I mean, like, it's very annoying because, like, in Ulster, you would say T-sha.
Oh.
Munster, you would say T-shock.
Okay.
T-shock. Uh-huh. Is that like a
sort of a husk of thought?
T-shock.
Yeah, so there are regional variations anyway.
What it is in Irish, you have broad vowels, and those are A-O-U, and slender vowels, and that's an E and I, and a consonant gets only a broad or only a slender on both sides. So it depends. You have extra vowels that are stuck in there, right?
Yeah, without pronunciation. They do have pronunciation normally, but around a vowel, they don't necessarily have to have pronunciation. And when you have a broad vowel, A, O, or U, it is a different pronunciation when it flanks a consonant. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting. And then let's look at the Tiao Siach. It has an mm-hmm. I on one side of the S and an E on the other. Mm-hmm. And so we go, immediately we go, because now we have this little knowledge here, those are slender vowels. Slender vowels make the S, SH.
Right, okay.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And it can also work with a vowel in front of the consonant when the consonant opens up the name or word. So we have, now Kath, send him over.
Well, this is
a giveaway. But Fletcher can now tell us the rule.
Oh, right. Oh, well, that's cool, because I guess everybody always wonders why it's pronounced this way. S-E-A-N, the name is Sean, because
right.
it has
Correct.
A slender vowel after the S.
Uh-huh. As a kid, I always thought it was Sean Connery. I remember that.
Of course. Well, you know what's,
I remember
even,
that as
what's
well.
Even worse now, of course, is the actor Sean Bean, whose name two
yes.
names are spelled almost exactly
it
the same.
It should be Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
I never thought of that.
Bean, that's good, Fletcher.
Yeah. Okay, another word here, and this is... It's good that you gave me that rule. I mean, I already kind of know this name because I did some substitute teaching for a little while, and there was a girl with this name in one of the classes, like a fourth grade class or something. And boy, was I roundly ridiculed when I did not know how to pronounce this. Kids are ruthless, as we all know. Anyway, S-I-O-B-H-A-N. I think that B is also... sort of a softer V sound, maybe. So it's like Siobhan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah. Siobhan. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Because you've got the S I is Sh, because mm-hmm. of the S is before the thing. And a BH or an MH are pronounced kind of like a V.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a W if it's in the middle of a word. But if it's the beginning of a word, it's always a V sound.
It was really interesting to me because I looked it up just the other day, and apparently. There's been a sound change. We were talking about how languages change and a sound change and all of that. And some older guy was saying, and he was a real grammarian type person, said that the B used to be, and the MH and those weird ones had like a slightly different sound like 100 years ago.
Oh,
and they weren't
yeah.
like V. It was like a B or something uh-huh. like that.
Sure.
Which I didn't realize. But now it's become pretty much V.
Okay.
MH... and et cetera. So now we go to the next word letter, which you now know.
Okay, so our next name, yeah, I mentioned this right at the top, but now I do know a little more about why.
Mm-hmm.
So N-I-A-M-H, kind of a lovely name, but it's pronounced Neve, right? And,
yes.
And as you just mm-hmm. told me, that M-H turns into sort of a mm-hmm. V sound. So that's how we're getting
mm-hmm.
Neve.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess those vowels in the middle are kind of doing their own thing. I haven't completely figured out what vowels are doing yet.
Well, the slight rule there is the I, that's a slant. We talked about it before. It's a skinny, slender
mm-hmm.
vowel.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's combined with another vowel, I mean, this is getting really complex now. In a stressed syllable, it usually creates, or it can create, a long E sound, which is what happens here. Now, this one sort of got me, and I looked it up, because I knew a Neve. And she pronounced her name Neve, sort of like a slight, like mm-hmm. Ev, like a slight off on that. That's why I said it can be pronounced. But
oh, so sort of more like Maeve?
No, Neve, like that more, it sounded like. Now, I'm not
oh,
sure.
Oh, like the I and the A were sort of slightly.
Neve, sort of, yeah, like that or something.
I'm
I don't
sure
know
they're
if that
a little,
like,
I'm sure they're a little,
yeah.
like, you know, intonations and stuff that we're missing on all of these. Really, but
yeah, that's what we're yeah, because we don't really none of us are like Gaelic speakers or really know Irish, and I'm wondering like when she said Niamh, was that like a her way of saying it, or was it a Irish way of saying it, or mm-hmm. something? You know,
I have one more that I want to see.
This one I know because we have a relative named that, so I know this one.
Okay.
I blew
okay,
it when
well,
I first.
So I won't ask you. I'll
okay,
let,
ask
I'll
Fletcher.
Give it to Fletcher.
Yeah, that's a good one, Kat. That is a good one. I was like a mess.
Because that's one that always panics me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, okay. again, not something I would know at all, except that there's a musician with this name. And so I do know how to pronounce this. But
okay.
A-O-I-F-E. A-O-I-F-E is how it's spelled. It turns out it's pronounced Aoife.
Yes. Why?
Oh, God.
Why not?
Well, you said something about long E sound with slender vowels next to, next to the other vowels. but honestly, no, I really have no idea why.
Well, because it's a not, I mean, one of them is not, I mean, they're not, I don't know. Actually, I'm looking at it. As I was saying, I know it's pronounced Aoife because we have a relative that way. And I suddenly thought, why is it pronounced? Maybe Fletcher knows.
Well, I would assume we've got A-O-I, right? Is the first vowel cluster.
Right.
So I'm assuming that the I is the most important one, and we just chuck the A and the O, like we did with
Tisha. I mean, that's that A O I is at the beginning of the Tisha one.
Yeah.
Two.
See, there you go again. So I'm just wait a minute. I'm getting confused. Like so you've got a broad vowel followed by two slender vowels, right?
Right.
Do we have here? No, we have
two broad vowels
followed by a slender. So it seems to me like the slender wins all the time.
I don't know, Kat. That's my only guess,
anyone Irish listening to this, forgive me.
Forgive us all.
It seems that way to me, that the rule would be the I wins.
Possibly.
I want to make clear that I really love this. Like, I don't want it to seem like we're poking fun because we think it's silly. I really love all these names. And
my cousin will kill me if I say the names are. I think it's a beautiful name.
Yeah, no, it's really wonderful. We're just obviously totally ignorant, and it's really kind of fun to play with.
But we appreciate it.
I want to throw one more out. Kath, could you send this to Fletcher? This would really get me.
I'm myself am baffled.
Ooh. Okay.
It's beautiful, man.
All right. So I've never seen this one. Okay. But it's spelled.
It was the 19th most popular name among female births in Ireland in 2014.
Really? Wow. Okay. All right. So it's spelled C A O I M H E. I mean, if we go by all those rules, I don't know what the C would be, but we would end up with something like Kiva.
Perfect.
Correct.
You got it.
Hey.
You're getting the rules.
Fletcher.
You got it.
It starts to make sense.
Yep.
Cool.
You've harnessed Irish.
But I want to throw one more out. Given that, this is a name that we should know. Kath, could you zip this over to Fletcher?
Oh, no. Is this going to be a trick?
This is a friend of mine in high school, if you remember.
Oh, my heavens. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I would never have gotten that.
Are you just telling? Okay, so it's spelled.
So Fletcher, this was a really good friend of mine in high school. Uh-huh. We used to go to what was the place we used to go to? We had the bar all the time with the
which
hang
one?
Out.
Espos.
Espos. Yeah.
Espos.
Right. Espos.
All right. So this is spelled pretty similar to the last one, but C A O I M H I N, and that last I has it looks like maybe an accent on it. Now, I don't know if this is going to follow the rules or if you're just going to tell me his name was Kevin.
Yes! You got it. You got it.
Gorgeous. I love it.
I know. I'm going to do a little more research on pronunciation. I think I actually prefer how it looks to English.
Oh, yeah. I think
Yeah.
I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
I think these names are, which is why so many non-Irish people have Irish looking names. Uh-huh. Just because I think they're aesthetically just stunning.
Yeah, they really
they are.
Yeah.
I also just like them a lot anyway, just like Sean, Siobhan. I just like how they sound.
Yeah.
They're just beautiful names. Anyway, we're gonna leave the wonderful world
L-I-A-M-H.
Of Gaelic names. Yes. And we're going to do another round of what we call confusing confusables. Things that people think are the same and are often used interchangeably, but technically aren't. Fletcher, do you know the crucial differences?
Unlikely.
Okay. We're starting with a trifecta.
Ooh.
Plinth. Podium and lectern.
What was the first one?
Plinth.
I would have thought that was some kind of small rock. So I don't know what a plinth is. You don't have like dais on there, which I think is interesting.
No, we could have put that in there, but we put plinth instead. Plinth. Okay.
we're plinth. Actually, to some degree, we have the right to be plinth people, given the origins of the word.
Oh, does it have to? It has something to do with a rock.
Wait,
it does have something to do with a rock, but that's what I just said. Some kind of small rock. Maybe it's a big rock.
Yes.
A big rock you stand on, or something.
Fletcher. Yeah. Let's stop. Right there, Fletcher. Let's go backwards to what you just said.
Okay. So let's say the plinth is like the whole big thing that you stand on. It would not exactly be a stage, but maybe a raised platform. Am I close?
Close-ish. You're not standing on it.
Oh.
Julius Caesar is standing on it.
Well, whoever's speaking.
Now, no.
Now he would be. He's dead, but...
Oh, is it like that like what you put a statue up on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the big flat slab is a plinth.
Yes. Okay. So you fooled me with the lectern and podium. I thought this was all just speech making stuff. Okay, I get it now. A podium is like the platform that you stand on. But is it like the whole big thing? Let's say there's two people doing a debate. Are they both mm-hmm. standing on the same podium, or do they each, is it like even a raised platform on top of the raised platform?
Oh, it's like a stage versus the podium is a raised platform where you give a speech.
So like, if people are, I want to go back to that. If there are two people and they're debating or something, are they both on the same podium?
Or are they both, do they have their own podiums?
I'm going to look at a picture of two people debating right now and see if you're.
I thought that they're usually on their own podia. Wouldn't it be podia?
Well, let's jump up to lectern real quick, because lectern is the shelf thing that you stand in behind, right?
Right, the thing that holds your notes.
Yeah, the hold your notes. You're completely correct. I just looked at several pictures. In most cases, the podium is raised on both individuals are
okay
on separate podium.
Okay, so you have a podium that you stand up on. And then your lectern is in front of you holding your notes, and that's usually what has like the microphone on it or something like that.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Correct.
Okay.
Which causes some problems for people because they have like, we found a couple of instances a while back of people like giving a speech and then repeatedly pounding on the podium.
Mm, right, because they're actually
And that
pounding.
Would mean they're getting down on the floor pounding with their hands.
Although nowadays with like the level of
political discourse. That's probably very likely at this point. And Fletcher raised a good one, which is really weird, dais, which is a platform on a raised floor at one end of a room or a hall, mm-hmm. which is another word here too. But they're saying it pretty much died out in usages normally. But the dais has a really weird origin because it comes from discus in Latin, which is disc-shaped object, which comes from dish in Greek, which is odd because I picture now someone standing on a, plate giving a speech, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, podium is interesting because obviously it came from foot, but it came from the foot of a vase initially.
Huh.
Yeah, but it's a diminutive.
I wouldn't have thought that.
It's a diminutive of the Greek word, pous or podos. Yeah, foot. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Why foot of a vase? I would have thought it more from like, your feet are on it,
Yeah. Now we can move into current events with Alan Dershowitz is trying to sue someone for not feeding him a pierogi. And he's calling it, you heard that, haven't you?
I did, yes.
Okay, he's suing for defamation. So we're going to go into he says he's going to sue. We don't really know.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go into various definitions of the differences among, notice the correct usage, not between, but among.
Oh.
Slander, defamation, libel, and calumny.
Wow.
Calumny is one of those words I've never used in my life.
I was just about to say that I hesitated because we had them in a row and we had the calumny was last. I was in the middle, but I thought, how do you pronounce that? So, a confession here because I don't think I've ever used it either. I know the word from reading it, but like sort of know the word in that sense. Yeah.
Okay. I can do slander and libel pretty easily. Slander is when you speak an untruth about someone, I guess something bad. Libel, right. Libel is when you actually write it down.
Right.
Is defamation just sort of the umbrella over both of those things? Like, in either case, you are defaming someone?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And then calumny, I think, is the worst of all of these, but I don't exactly know what it is.
Calumny is false accusation or slander. So actually, it's just one of the group.
Yeah, I think the key definition here that we have to get into is legally, we talk about defamation. Mm. And then there are two types of defamation, slander and libel, which, interestingly enough, if you look it up now, the problem with online stuff is that libel used to be considered worse than slander. Mm. Because, you know, it's one thing to say, like, oh, he's a jerk. It's another thing to write he's a jerk. But now with online stuff, it's really blurred. Mm-hmm. And you're getting to the point where basically now they're considered...
Yeah, because is a comment slander or is it libel?
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So you're getting really kind of like they're mushed together now. So basically, Kathy, when I think about it, this was a pretty useless distinction we're getting into
We really are.
Maybe now. I mean, but that's an interesting development. It just so much of our life is so text-based now, you know, whether that's comments or texting on your phone.
Yeah.
So much is written down now. What does that actually mean? And does like the definition of libel need to adjust?
I'm curious.
Exactly.
I was fascinated with the fact that libel initially just meant a small book.
Oh yeah, because libel comes from libellus, which in Latin.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the whole concept of being the defamatory angle of it didn't come about until the 1600s.
Yeah.
You said false accusation with calumny. Is that like a key part of this here?
It's considered basically, it's considered a tort. It's the tort of, it's part of the tort of defamation.
Uh-huh.
Calumny can be actually a legal definition for someone falsely accusing another person of a crime.
Okay.
But usually in terms of the regular speech, it means sort of the regular act of acting maliciously with intent to do harm. Basically can fall under the rubric of general defamation as well. But literally, it could mean falsely accusing another person of a crime.
Okay.
I like calumny the best. That one looks like the most, like, potent.
It looks evil.
I mean?
It looks like you're doing something really bad. I agree with you.
I'm looking at it. Yeah. I'm thinking, whoa, calumny.
This is bad. Oh. I mean, you know, it's like I accused you of libel. It's just like, that's not very nice. Calumny is like, uh-oh. Yeah. Danger.
<I'm screwed>.
Oddly enough, defamation to me has a similarly bad. Defamation seems to me, I know they're, you know, it basically encompasses slander and or libel, but defamation looks pretty bad too to me.
Nah, calumny. Defamation doesn't do me as much.
But interesting enough, it comes from the word fama, which is fame, basically, a report or a rumor. And then you're kind of disseminating a report or a rumor, which is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Where does calumny come from? Let me just see.
It comes from Old French. Oh, no, it comes from Latin. Trickery, subterfuge.
Latin calumnia, of course. What am I saying? Yes, that's right. Malicious charge.
Subterfuge is one of those words I never use and I always liked. Sorry.
Did you say subterfuge?
Yeah.
It's funny. I think I brought this up one time a long time ago, but I heard someone on a podcast at some point say that they pronounced it as subterfuge, and I think it's because they'd seen like the word subtle, and so they thought that BT made the B silent.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wait, what?
Oh, that's interesting.
Rushed to look it up to make sure I hadn't been saying it wrong the whole time.
No, that's what suddenly I thought,
No, it is subterfuge. Anyway, it's just funny.
It's interesting because that comes from the Latin word the fugue part is to flee, which is interesting. So it's to escape or flee by stealth, which is interesting sort of origin there. Let's try to convince Fletcher of the, or should we try to persuade Fletcher?
Aha, Ross, this is a very good segue.
Oh boy.
Thank you, Kathy. I am very happy to have done that very good segue. We're not rehearsed at all, are we?
No, we are not.
No, we're not, definitely.
Okay, so I guess we're looking at convince versus persuade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the persnickety ones, I think.
That I was going to say this. It's going to take me just a second to form my thoughts here because they do definitely feel like different things to me. If I'm trying to persuade you of something, I'm trying to move you to my point of view or my side of the argument. If I'm trying to convince you of something, I'm trying to make you believe a specific thing. There's a real very subtle distinction in there between
the subterfuge.
Yeah.
Now, the persuade is to you cause someone to do something by asking or arguing.
Okay.
Whereas what you said as persuade is actually convince to cause someone to believe something.
Okay.
So one is more of a theoretical. And the other is more of getting you to do.
Ooh, I think that the meaning has changed.
When Fletcher said that, that's why I went, I'm really confused by this one.
Were you persuaded by what I was saying?
I'm not sure I was persuaded or convinced at this point. I don't know. This one really bothers me, the distinction. I mean, the distinction that we just read to you and the distinction that you're saying, I think I would pretty much, I'm trying to think, let's all think about it, really. I convince Fletcher.
You convince Fletcher that you're right. You persuade him to do something about that.
I sort of see it, kind of dragging Fletcher in a way. Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but I don't think that distinction exists anymore. I'm not saying they're the same thing, but you could easily say I convinced him to go with me to whatever.
I agree.
Right?
And I agree.
That's persuading him the way you said it. But
I completely agree with you, Fletcher.
Well, that is why I said this was a persnickety one, because I agree too. I mean, really, I think that they can be used interchangeably.
Fletcher has convinced me to believe it, and Fletcher has persuaded me to believe it.
He's persuaded me by the facts, Ross.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard this distinction before in my life. And so I guess it's possible that I'm arguing against it because it's completely unfamiliar to me. But I think it's unfamiliar to me for a reason, and I think that's, like I said, because the meaning has shifted for both.
Well,
words.
I'm looking at their etymology, and even then, I'm not convinced, if you will, that the difference is legit. Because persuade, they say, comes from the Latin persuadere, to bring over by talking. Okay, that's persuade. But then convince comes from the Latin, the meaning to firmly overcome.
It comes from the Latin
decisively.
Yeah, but it's conquering, really.
Yeah.
It's to conquer defeat. Mm-hmm. It's Winko is to conquer. But I mean, that bothers me, though, because to convince, to believe something, you conquer them. But if you persuade them, you certainly conquered them, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the etymology here really helps.
Helps. No, I don't think it does either.
No, I think it's really not a good etymology. I mean, it's a good, it's fine, it's real, but it doesn't really work very well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue it didn't come from that.
Why not, Ross? Come on.
But speaking of etymology and stuff, this one, I didn't know the difference. I can't believe I didn't. Kathy did immediately, and I didn't. And I mean, I don't love building things. You did more than I did when you were a kid.
Yeah, cement, it's always that kind.
Cement and concrete.
Oh, man. So I try to be relatively precise with my language, especially when I'm talking with my small children. I mean, I am very not like pedantic or even persnickety, but I try to describe things in ways so that they'll know what they are. Mm-hmm. I never know what to say about cement or concrete, ever. And the other day, my daughter asked me, I think I called something cement, and she asked me, what's cement? And I was like, I first of all, didn't really know how
to
tell her.
A squirrel.
Yeah. And then I also said something like, but it might be concrete.
Yeah.
And of course, she didn't care. Whatever. She moved on. But obviously, I remembered it because I'm here telling you about it. Anyway, I have no idea.
Okay. I really should know this from the Latin because it really bothered me that I didn't. Mm. But cement is the binding agent made from limestone and clay.
Okay.
It's only one ingredient used to create concrete.
Oh.
Concrete is the stuff that they like built stuff from, and the Romans were famous for it from ancient times for using concrete. It lasted.
Yeah,
because
you mix the cement with like gravel or sand or something.
Yeah,
that's how you make concrete.
Mm.
So cement is the mortar. It's the binder.
Wow.
Which
okay.
I know
cement as a binder. Like you talk about like rubber cement or even, you know, some other kind of cement when you're building a brick wall, which I do all the time, right? But I never I never thought about that as being only the binder, because we talk about, you know, the cement all the time on the ground, the sidewalk or whatever, don't we?
Yeah. And we're wrong. It's concrete.
Wow.
That's what it really gets. And I should have known this because it comes from the Latin concrescere, which is to grow together, which is to come together. Crescere, to grow together. So therefore, concrete would be the thing that's all, like Kathy just said, with the aggregates, it's grown together.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not, I mean, it really got me though, too, because I mentioned, like, why don't we do cement and concrete? I said, you know the difference? Kathy goes, yeah. And it was like, I did it.
We have a lot of mortar in our backyard to do all the thing.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.